reach 9 or 10 Celsius, but generally about 5 or 6 and feeling cold with a breeze. Finally on to Northern Ireland, where it'll be a dull and wet morning. Brighter skies should arrive in the west, though, from the afternoon with highs of 8 Celsius. And that's the forecast.
Thank you. And now our new book of the week. In Gold, Matthew Hart charts our obsession with the world's most seductive precious metal. The author's journey starts in South Africa's Northwest Province in midwinter.
A saffron light was seeping into the plane when I drove out. The midwinter air was dry and sharp. 40 miles from Johannesburg, I turned off the highway at Umponeng Mine, the deepest mine on Earth. Picture Manhattan Island sliced in half at the waist and the top part set up on its end. Umponeng Mine would fill the grid between 59th Street and 110th Street. The half-lit streets would tower into the sky before you, block upon block, to an altitude of almost 3 miles. You could stack 10 Empire State Buildings on top of each other in the distance, from the bottom of the mine to the surface. 236 miles of tunnels lace the rock, 30 miles longer than the New York subway system. Every morning, 4,000 men vanish into its subterranean web of shafts, ore chutes and haulage tunnels, and the narrow slots called stopes, where miners crouch in the oppressive heat to drill the gold. Their target is a 30-inch wide strip of ore, considered against the immensity of the mine, as thin as a hair. But on the July morning in 2012, when I went to Mponeng, the gold price was $1,581 an ounce. That wisp of rock was spilling out $948 million worth of gold a year. The world is awash in gold. Never has there been so much to buy and such a frenzied trade. We buy it and sell it and buy it again. In 2011, the London Bullion Market discovered that its members were trading as much gold every 3 months as had been mined in all of history. The sense of looming apocalypse that stormed through financial markets in the banking crisis sent people hurrying for cover into gold. 3 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, the gold price gained $1,000 an ounce. I was joining a small group that was going down the Mponeng mine. We met in a thatched reception hall. A table was spread with a breakfast of sweet pastries, little tubs of yogurt, and a steaming tray of boerewors, a pungent coarse-cut country sausage that South Africans extol, but do not always eat. A group of sturdy males from the mine's underground management stood growling among themselves and eyeing us with pleasure, as if we were Christians that they thought the lions might enjoy. Then they sat us in folding chairs to tell us about the dangers of the world we were about to enter. Deep mining destabilizes rock. 600 times a month, they said, a seismic event will shudder through the mine. Sometimes the quakes cause rock bursts, when rock explodes into a mining cavity and mows men down with a deadly spray of jagged rock. Some of the rock bursts have been so powerful that other countries, detecting the seismic signature, have suspected South Africa of testing a nuclear bomb. Sometimes a tremor causes a fall of ground, the term for a collapse. "You will certainly feel a little shake when you're down there," Randall Radiman, the mine's general manager, rumbled in his gravelly, Dutch-inflected English. He was an enormous man in a plaid shirt, with hands like shovels, and a beard that looked as if it would score glass. After Radiman, a safety officer showed us how to use the Draeger Oxybox self-rescuer, a device that came in a small, frail-looking aluminium case. Self-rescue was not an idea I had grappled with, and now that I was forced to, did not like. In an emergency, you were supposed to open the little case and inflate the rubber bag inside by blowing into it, then strap the bag into place like a gas mask. The device would filter out toxic gases. It would keep you alive for 30 minutes. We changed into white overalls and steel-toed rubber boots and buckled on heavy belts. They gave us miners' hats and lamps. I attached the heavy lamp battery to my belt, threaded on the oxybox, and went clumping down a sort of cattle chute to the cage. Each cage holds 120 people in a three-deck stack. When the first deck is filled with its load of 40 miners, the car descends 10 feet and stops, and the deck above it fills in turn with another 40. The hoisting apparatus for a cage that carries people instead of rock is called a man winder. Sometimes, it winds men to their death. On the 11th of May 1995, in the Vaal Reefs gold mine, 90 miles south of Um Poneng, an underground railway engine broke loose. Pulling rail cars after it, the engine plunged 7,000 feet down a shaft onto a two-deck cage, killing the 105 men who were returning to the surface at the end of their shift. On May 1, 2008, nine miners died in a subshaft at Goldfield South Deep Mine when a winder rope broke and the cage fell 196 feet. Once our cage was full, a dispatcher signaled with a sequence of electric bells. Slowly, very slowly at first, the cage crept down. The bright tunnel disappeared, and the light faded, and the black rock closed in. Almost imperceptibly, the speed increased, until the operator, controlling the cage from a distant room in a separate building, took off the brake and dropped us down the shaft at 46 feet a second. My stomach sailed into my ribs, my ears blocked, air whistled in the mesh. The cage squeaked and rattled as it plummeted down the shaft. In 4 minutes, we travelled 1.6 miles. In the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, 57 elevators shuffle people up and down the tower, often in stages. We had travelled five times the distance covered by the Burj Khalifa system and had done it in a single drop. We stepped into a large, bright tunnel with whitewashed walls and made our way to the cage that would take us deeper, to the active mining levels that lay far below. We stepped into the second cage and in 2 minutes dropped another mile into the furnace of the rock. In an effect known as geothermal gradient, the temperature of the earth increases with depth. We emerged into a tunnel where the rock temperature was 60 degrees Celsius and the humidity 95%. In this dim sauna, perspiration soaked us in a moment. Sweat ran down my body until the socks were squishing in my boots and the cotton overalls were pasted to my skin. We had gone as deep as we could by cage. To reach the deeper levels, the miners either rode in open vehicles or more often walked. From the surface to the deepest tunnels, the journey took an hour, and most of that time was spent on the last half mile. I clambered into the back of a Toyota truck, and we started down a stifling, gloomy, long decline. In the city of the underground, there are no vistas. Every turn took us further into the rock, further from the cage, closer to the reef and the deep galleries. We passed a cavernous recess where men gathered around a large tracked vehicle. They watched us go by. We turned a bend into another hot, dark tube with light bulbs dangling from the roof and cables stitched to the wall, and continued down. AngloGold Ashanti, the mine's owner, selects miners for the deeps only after screening for susceptibility to heat. In a special chamber, applicants perform step exercises while technicians monitor them. The test chamber is kept at a wet temperature of 28 degrees. "We are trying to force the body's thermoregulatory system to kick in," said Zahan Elof, an occupational health physician. "If your body cools itself efficiently, you're safe to go underground for a 14-day trial, and if that goes well, cleared to work." I wondered how well any screening could predict the ability to work in that asphyxiating dungeon. Nothing lived naturally in the depths of the mine except a kind of bacteria, an organism that survives without sunlight. The bacteria take their energy from ambient radioactivity. Mining at depth makes rock unstable. Every day at Um Poneng mine, they detonate 5,000 pounds of explosives. Every day they take away 6,400 tons of rock. The laws of compressive force dictate that the rock will try to close the spaces left by mining. To prevent this, engineers backfill stopes with rock and concrete. In tunnels, yard-long rock bolts anchor the unstable rock on the tunnel roof to the more stable interior of the rock mass. Patterns of rock bolts inserted in clusters are said to knit the rock together. Wire mesh and sprayed concrete stabilize the tunnel walls. Seismic sensors in the mine detect tremors at the first twitch, warning men to leave the rock face. But in the gold mines of South Africa, there is a destabilizing force beyond the reach of engineers. It seems beyond the reach of anyone. A pervasive, violent, and desperate invading army of thieves. Swarming the gold mines, a skilled rabble of impoverished men and women siphon off hundreds of millions of dollars a year worth of ore. Because South Africa's leading mines have elaborate security, invaders can't move in and out easily. Once they penetrate a mine, they may stay down for months. Deprived of sunlight, their skin turns grey. The wives and prostitutes who live with them turn grey. In South Africa, they call them ghost miners. Gold mine theft is a staple topic in South Africa, and many people think the police connive in it. Driven by the high gold price and the desperation of the poor, illegal miners overrun abandoned gold mines and vacant parts of working mines and produce a flow of illicit gold. They have been doing so for decades, robbing the mines from within. The Zulu slang for an illegal miner is Zama-Zama, which means try your luck. But luck is not the main ingredient of the illegal success. Many are experienced miners who lost their jobs, or men led by such veterans. They know where the rich ore is, or soon find out. A 2001 report said that well-provisioned groups infiltrated mines by bribing the security. The groups did their own blasting underground with stolen explosives. They built small refineries, establishing themselves in vacant tunnels. They had detailed maps of the mines and could navigate the underground maze with confidence. Gold diggers often entered the underground from one mine and moved through tunnels that connected to a second or third. The gold-bearing material that they mined was stored in disused shafts and then retrieved over a period of time, often, the report said, in collusion with runners who were employed in the mine. Legal miners made good money by colluding with the thieves. According to one newspaper report, a smuggled 48-cent loaf of bread could fetch $12 underground. Thieves steal about $1 billion a year worth of ore, or maybe twice as much. The distance between these estimates shows how little grasp authorities have of the problem.
Race for the World's Most Seductive Metal was written by Matthew Hart, abridged by Pete Nichols, and read by Robert Glenister. The producer was Karen Rose, and it's a Sweet Talk production for BBC Radio 4. And tomorrow's episode of Gold recounts the story of the European lust for gold that would decimate an empire. Now, to take us to the shipping forecast, here's Sailing By. And now the shipping forecast, issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Tuesday the 21st of January. There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira, Forties, Fisher, Lundy, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes and South East Iceland. The general synopsis at 1800. Low, 400 miles west of Rockall, 970, expected just west of Bailey, 977, by 1800 Tuesday. The area forecast for the next 24 hours, Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira, northeast 40s, southeasterly 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9 in Viking and South Utsira. Rain or snow, moderate, occasionally very poor. Southwest 40s, Cromartie, southeasterly 5 to 7, perhaps gale 8 later, rain later, moderate or good. Fourth, Tyne, Dogger, south or southeast 4 or 5, increasing 6 or 7, rain later, good, occasionally poor. North Fisher, easterly 7 to severe gale 9, snow, poor or very poor. South Fisher, German Bight, easterly or southeasterly 5 to 7, occasional rain, moderate. Humber, Thames, Dover, variable 4, becoming southeasterly 5 or 6 later, showers, good, occasionally poor. White, Portland, west 4, backing south, 5 to 7, rain later, good.